So who are the bent over ones in our world today? No, I'm not talking about those awful, hideous garden objects that show the bent over behinds of any number of different kinds of persons, but who are the bent over people in our world today? Who are the ones who've been left behind, left out, given up on, told in so many words and ways that there's nothing that can be done, we're sorry, nothing to be done to improve their lot in life? Who are the ones who've heard that message for so long that they have internalized it and so have stopped even hoping for something different, something better for themselves in life? You see, to be bent over is not just a physical description and not just a physical condition. It is also a spiritual and psychological condition. And it is not just a condition that afflicts individuals. It is a condition that can seriously affect and harm whole groups of people at once. Almost 30 years ago, I was sitting in my office in a chair pretty much like this one, taking care of the work that was given to me that morning, when all of a sudden I felt a twinge in my back and my back froze up. Some of you understand what that's like. It has given me at least a small amount of empathy for anyone who tells me in the first sentences out of their mouth that they have back issues and back problems. Because if you have back problems and back pain and back issues, they are with you constantly. They never go away. I sat at the desk that morning waiting to see if my back would release. It did not. I managed to hobble my way home the 6 blocks to my house. The cord cannot. I hobbled, and with every step in pain, walking more gently, more slowly than I ever knew I could. And when I reached home, I assumed that by the end of the day, the back would be better. It was not. And so the next day, I made the doctor's appointment and crawled into the car, drove myself there, explained the problem. He told me it was a muscle spasm, and he gave me a prescription, and I waited. And I waited, and I waited. For the rest of that week, I remained bent over, doubled up, unable to do so much of what I took for granted every other day of my life. I began to have an awareness not only of what it's like for persons who have serious long-term back problems, but what it must have been like for that woman in the synagogue that day. For you see, to be bent over is to be able to see only part of life. To be bent over is to spend most of your time looking down because you simply can't look up. To be bent over is in many ways to become a half person. Someone that others quickly pass by, ignore, discard, pay no attention to. So who are the bent over ones in our world today? Who are the ones who suffer not simply from physical ailment, but who suffer from psychological and spiritual oppression that keeps them crippled, that keeps them from being everything that God has created them to be. The bent over ones are here this morning, aren't they? Oh, I know some of you stand up straight and tall, but inside where none of us can see, inside where only you and God know, there is a sense of being crippled and incomplete and unable to be who you want to be and who God wants you to be. The bent over ones are not just those who suffer physically as individuals, but they are also those who are deprived of equal opportunity, equal dignity, equal respect, and the opportunity for a full life and a happy one. Wednesday of this week marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and the eloquence of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. That event and its relevance for today will be the focus of a community forum right here in our building Tuesday evening at 7:30. I wish this morning that I could look back on half a century and say that that speech and that event was the climactic turning point in the history of this nation. You know better, and I know better. For as much as that speech and that day turned the tide in significant ways for America, we still deal daily, moment by moment, with the issue of racism that divides us and oppresses some and allows others to be blind to the harsh realities of our neighbors whose skin color is different. A new Pew Research study was released this past week. You may have heard some of the results. The results report on how we have done over the past 50 years in dealing with our racism and our differences. 45% of all, only 45% of all Americans believe we've made any significant progress in race relations, and an even greater number, nearly half, say there's still so much that remains to be done. 7 out of 10 African Americans and 1 in 3 Caucasians report believing that blacks are treated unfairly by police. And similarly, 2/3 of all African Americans and 1/4 of all whites say the same thing about our court system, our criminal justice system, that it treats some one way and others another. The study finds that over 1/3 of all African Americans express having experienced an act of discrimination in the past 12 months. Something that does not impact me unless I choose to open my eyes and my ears. The report points out some notable gains in how blacks and whites are achieving in our society, some other places where we are not that different at all from where we were half a century ago. But it's not just about perceptions and attitudes. The study finds hard numbers to back up the realities, numbers that point out not just to a continuing economic gap for African American families versus white families, but a growing gap. What had been so long ago a $19,000 annual income gap for white families versus African-American families has become 50% greater, $27,000 difference, simply because I happen to be white and someone else does not. What makes the story different this day, this story of Jesus' healing of the bent over woman, is that it's not simply seen as a problem of one person, but a problem that affects many. And I must confess that it's all too easy for me as a person of white skin to be blind to that which impacts persons of color every single day of their life. I'm learning with the help of some friends. I'm learning also because my grandchildren are children of color, which means now it becomes very personal, not just a sociological problem, not just a national problem, it becomes my problem. The leader in the synagogue that day did what would be so easy for me and perhaps for some of you to do as well, as to say, not my problem, and not today, not now, wait, come back later, take your turn. Great poet Langston Hughes reminds us that justice delayed is justice denied. It's one thing that day in the synagogue so long ago for Jesus to encounter that single bent over woman. It's a whole nother matter when Jesus places his hand on that woman and tells her to rise up and stand up straight, to discover that in our society there are people at that moment who are pushing back down and saying, no, not yet. We're comfortable. We're comfortable with the world the way it is. And Jesus reaches out and touches again, and the hands push back and say, stay bent over. Stay in your place. Keep things the way they are. I wish I could say that Martin Luther King's speech changed everything. It changed some things, but there's so much left to be done. And we who follow Jesus are invited to choose up sides, to align ourselves with the powers that say, keep things safe and predictable and the way they've always been. Just follow the rules, and the rules will work out in the end. Or to dare to find ourselves lining up behind the rule breaker, the one who says those rules are not God's rules. God's desire, God's passion, God's heart is to set all persons free. Not some, not someday, but all. Here and now. Whatever it is that cripples your spirit, I invite you this day to let Jesus touch and free you. But not so you can rejoice in your own personal healing, but that you might join the followers of Jesus in acknowledging all the bent over ones and understand that we have been given the invitation to join in the work of healing and reconciling and restoring, so that together we might all stand arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, of every color, every sexual orientation, every physical ability and disability, and all the other things that separate us, to say that together we are the body of Christ, healed and set free. Thanks be to God. Amen.